Good morning, and welcome to the Prescott Daily Courier. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sunsound Studios in Flagstaff. Today, I'll be reading articles dated April 23rd, 2025. And here are your headlines. Charlotte Hall Museum recognized as an accredited arboretum. Inaugural Agape House of Prescott leader promoted into executive director position. And new House bill demands school districts implement stricter cell phone policies. And here are your details. Charlotte Hall Museum recognized as accredited arboretum by Parker Jones. Prescott's Charlotte Hall Museum Arboretum has now gotten global recognition. The museum has been awarded a Level 1 accreditation by the ArbNet Arboretum Accreditation Program and the Morton Arboretum, as announced in a news release from the museum. The Charlotte Hall Museum is now recognized as a botanical garden specializing in trees in the Morton Register, a database of the world's arboretae and gardens dedicated to woody plants. Charlotte Hall Museum Interim Director Paul Fees said they received accreditation within 2 weeks of submitting the application. In a way, the accreditation helps to honor the founder, Charlotte Hall. She has had such a remarkable vision for this place, Fees said. The kinds of things that she said she wanted the campus to be and the kinds of suggestions she made for what she wanted the museum to become, it has become all of those things. Nearly 100 years ago, museum founder Charlotte M. Hall proposed to make the grounds a little park of northern Arizona trees, shrubs, and flowers. Today, the museum's 4-acre campus features 89 species of trees and woody plants. It also includes the Yavpe Ethnobotany Garden, which was developed in collaboration with the Yavapai Prescott Indian Tribe, and the Territorial Women's Memorial Rose Garden, with 180 historic rose varieties. On April the 11th, the General George Crook chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution organization presented the museum with its 90th distinct species, a Kwanzan flowering cherry tree as Arizona's Liberty Tree. The gift was meant in part to launch Arizona's commemoration of the nation's 250th anniversary in July 2026. The Kwanzan flowering cherry is not native to the U.S., but was one of 12 varieties originally presented to the U.S. by Japan in 1912, Fees said. The museum's groundskeeper, along with several volunteers, plant and raise trees, shrubs, and perennials that are either native to the region or descended from those cultivated by pioneer farmers, families, and ranchers. Some of the garden's particularly interesting plants are two apple trees and a London plane tree that may have been planted by Charlotte Hall herself. To me, it's a remarkable thing to follow her guidance and to see how very far-sighted she was, both in her vision for the campus, but also in her idea of what a museum should be and what it should do, Fee said. So, in a way, we're still fulfilling Charlotte Hall's vision for the Charlotte Hall Museum. The accreditation organization, ArbNet, is an international community of arboreta sponsored and coordinated by the Morton Arboretum in LaSalle, Illinois, in cooperation with the American Public Gardens Association and Botanic Gardens Conservation International. Inaugural Agape House of Prescott leader promoted into executive director position by Nancy Hudson. For those who know Becky Mitchell, and the number is more than a few, the unanimous opinion that she is the heart of Agape House of Prescott. Agape House is a faith-based Greater Prescott area nonprofit to provide homeless families with both short and long-term housing and life skills so that they find success in their chosen communities. In Prescott, Agape House owns and operates its programs at a 9-apartment complex for up to 14 families per year. In October 2024, the nonprofit organization expanded into Prescott Valley with what will be a $1.8 million transitional living complex on town-owned land off Bob Drive with 6 2-bedroom manufactured units. 2 are now on site and occupied, with 4 more soon to come. The short-term program is expected to last between 3 and 6 months, and the transitional program is for up to 2 years. She bleeds Agape House. She's always been a face of Agape House, and she has the heart Agape needs to serve our families, declares Juanita Setzer, the nonprofit's residential care director of the 45-year-old interim, now agency executive director, a transplant from Ohio who, with her paramedic youth minister husband of 20 years, Matt, are raising 4 children, ages 9 to 18. Since its start in 2013, Mitchell has been an integral part of the leadership team, who not only worked hand-in-hand with directing and supervising the operation, but also working with their families to see how God's grace can heal even the deepest wounds of addiction, domestic violence, and life chaos. From a faith and social services background that included serving the homeless through the Salvation Army, Mitchell is a believer that the divine will of God gifts people second chances to be who he believes they're destined to be, healthy, thriving people able to raise their families and be of service to others in their chosen communities. New House bill demands school districts implement stricter cell phone policies by Abigail Salaya. House Bill 2484, signed by Governor Katie Hobbs on April the 14th, mandates that school district and charter school governing boards implement policies that limit student cell phone usage during the school day. The new policies are also meant to govern students' access to the internet the school provides and limit access to social platforms. However, the bill specifies teachers must be allowed to give students access to social media platforms for educational purposes. While the signed bill may cause some school districts to act, local districts have already implemented cell phone policies that either align with the law or closely follow it. Bill 2484 allows exceptions for school districts or charters not to adopt new policies if their existing policies meet the new requirements. Christine Griffin, superintendent of Humboldt Unified School District, said their policies meet most requirements. At Humboldt Unified School District, we already have clear expectations in place that limit student cell phone use during the school day, so House Bill 2484 aligns closely with our current practices, Griffin said. Students are required to keep their phones off and stored in their backpacks throughout the school day, which helps minimize distractions and maintain a focused learning environment. Griffin said that she recognizes the importance of allowing students to have access to their phones during an emergency, and that the school is currently reviewing its procedures to ensure there are systems in place that allow for quick and appropriate access to phones if an emergency should arise. Student safety will always be our top priority, Griffin said. Clark Tenney, superintendent of Prescott Unified School District, said their policy already complies with the law. Like most laws passed by the legislature to apply to school districts, we have a policy in place that already complies with the new law that will take effect in a few months, Tenney said. Cindy Daniels, superintendent of Chino Valley Unified School District, said their team will meet to review the policy. Our administrative team will meet to determine if our current policy needs adjusting, Daniels said. We have a fairly restrictive internet and cell phone policies currently in place. After policies are written, the bill states, the school district must then notify parents of the adopted policies and inform parents of their ability to prohibit students from using personal technology at school. Chalk It Up Prescott, scheduled for May 3rd to 4th, by Parker Jones. The city of Prescott has announced this year's Chalk It Up event is scheduled for Saturday, May 3rd from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sunday, May 4th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Hosted by the Launchpad Teen Center, the free family-oriented event will take place in the Prescott City Hall parking lot located at 201 North Montezuma Street. Budding artists, as well as families with children of all ages, are invited to participate and display their sidewalk chalk creations. As stated on the Chalk It Up website, street art originated in the 16th century in Italy, where artists known as Madonnari made a living traveling from village to village, recreating pictures of the Madonna on pavement. The practice continues to exist today in the form of chalk art festivals around the world. Though the event is free, any donations or proceeds from Chalk It Up will go toward art and music programs at the Launchpad Teen Center. Throughout the two-day event, there will be no parking in the City Hall lot beginning on Friday, May the 2nd after 5:30 p.m. City employees and visitors must remove their cars from the lot by 5:30 p.m. More information can be found at the launchpadteencenter.org. You are listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sunsan's programming is dedicated to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. If you miss a program, you can also get it on demand from our website. Choose broadcast info and audio, then on demand. Next, we'll turn to the features page of the Prescott Daily Courier, starting with To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, I recently have begun seeing a new physician who dictates into a recorder during my entire exam. I find this very off-putting and don't know what to do. Here is an example. Doctor, what brings you in today? Me, I have a sore throat. Doctor speaks into the recorder. Patient presents a complaint of a sore throat today. Doctor, when did it start? Me, Thursday. Doctor speaks into the recorder. Patient states that it began on Thursday. This back and forth into the recorder continues for the entire visit. I don't feel as if I can have a discussion about a concern with him when he continues to interrupt me to dictate. I feel as if I am bothering him while he is working if I want to add a detail or expound on what I said. I understand physicians are under pressure to complete their charting and their schedules are very full, but I also believe that building a rapport is important for the doctor-patient relationship. This is not possible when I am stopped every few seconds so he can dictate. There is no head physician or practice manager to discuss this with. Do I bring this up directly with him or say nothing? Or should I find a new physician? Answer. I would also feel frustrated if my doctor did this to me. It does make it seem like writing the note is more important than listening to the patient. Even the doctor who stays behind a computer screen to make notes may not seem present in the exam room, and I certainly have been guilty of this on occasion. I will say that newer technology may help solve this problem. When I saw my own doctor last month, I noticed that he placed his phone down, but I didn't pay any more attention until he showed me after the visit what the AI scribe wrote as a chart note without him doing anything. I was impressed with the quality and thoroughness of the note that was seemingly written without him having to change his usual questions. I did agree to the use of this technology before the office visit. I have also had human scribes in the room when I've seen a doctor, dermatology in particular, and while it's easier to connect with a doctor who was paying attention to me, not their charting, having another human in the room does feel less private. What your doctor does seems clunky and, in some ways, the worst of both worlds. It won't be easy to bring it up with him directly, but this is the only alternative to finding a new doctor. Even if you do find a new doctor, your original doctor should know that his using a dictation machine is costing him patients. Dear Dr. Roach, I read that getting the chickenpox vaccine leads to a higher risk of shingles later in life compared to getting the chickenpox illness. Is this true? Answer. This is completely false. Large studies have shown that vaccinated children have a 79% lower percent incidence of shingles compared to unvaccinated children. put in another way, from a separate study, the risk of developing shingles was 2.3 times higher among children who got chickenpox compared to those who got the vaccine. Getting vaccinated as an adult over 50 for shingles, whether you have the vaccine or chickenpox, is the best way to prevent shingles, which is painful, can lead to severe complications, and even increase the risk of stroke. And next we'll turn to Dear Annie by Annie Lane. Dear Annie, in a nutshell, I have been off social media for about 5 years, and this year I have made it a resolution to reduce my screen time. My screen time average is down to about an hour a day, and if I had a way to measure it, I'd say my mental health has improved greatly. A year or two before COVID, I decided I was tired of getting into pointless arguments with people I don't even know, so I removed myself from all social media. I had to white-knuckle it for the 30 days that they leave your account available in case you want to come back. The downside for me is that if I want to see photos of my children on vacation or my granddaughter doing anything at all, I can't just click. I have asked my children just to text me photos instead. The upside for me is more peace of mind, maybe even better mental health. From my social media free point of view, it looks like a lot of people are basing their relationships to families and friends on the artificial construct that is social media. One friend breaks down in tears regularly, heartbroken, when telling me one of her children has posted something hurtful or has unfriended her on Facebook. They live within a 10-minute drive of each other, and they both have phones. Why not talk face-to-face instead of Facebook, or pick up the dang phone and have a real conversation? I can't for the life of me figure out why our society has given social media so much control over our lives. It's great to fire off a text for a quick check-in, or for me to see those photos that would ordinarily go to Facebook or Instagram. I email my children when I need to send them something in an attachment, or maybe a link to something that I have read that they may be interested in. I have one daughter in the Midwest and one on the East Coast. We talk on the phone at least 4 or 5 times a week. I have also been relying on the United States Postal Service a lot, particularly postcards. I put one in the mail every Monday morning to my granddaughter in the Midwest. I have a stack of Disney princess postcards and baby animal ones. My daughter tells me my granddaughter keeps them in a special box and brings them out to read to her stuffed animal friends. I refer to them as physical texts. The postage is less than a regular stamp, and I'm supporting the Postal Service, which, by the way, is not relying on federal funds. It's self-supporting. I have a postcard pen pal that I keep up with, and usually after a party or celebration at my house, I'll send postcards to my guests to thank them for showing up. I worry about our society in general becoming too reliant on technology. I see it as a tool that, when used sensibly, is beneficial, but when allowed to consume our lives, can be destructive. Thank you for the advice you give in your column. It's the first thing I read in the morning with my coffee. Signed, Screen Time. Dear Screen Time, this letter is a breath of fresh air. When used intentionally, Technology can indeed be a fantastic tool, but mindless scrolling is the source of so much anxiety, social comparison, and feelings of inadequacy. Thank you for sharing these thoughtful examples. Dear Annie, my partner's mother constantly demands attention and everything revolves around her. Whenever we're busy or focused on other things, she lashes out, often hurting those around her, including her grandchildren. She plays favorites, manipulates situations to her advantage, and pulls the extended family into her drama. If anyone refuses to engage, they become a target too. I've tried addressing this directly. Despite multiple attempts to keep the peace, she's tried to bribe her son to leave me and has used our children as leverage in manipulative ways. She's crossed the line repeatedly with no regard for anyone but herself. At this point, our kids avoid her. They don't want to call or visit. Still, she plays the victim and refuses to acknowledge the pain she's caused. After years of trying, I finally drew the line and only speak to her about the kids. When my partner stood up to her too, she went silent again, cutting us all off. Now she's back at it. I offered to talk face to face, but she continues the same toxic cycle. I'm doing my best to protect my family, especially our children, but I don't want to completely shut her out. The situation feels hopeless. She takes no responsibility, and the kids want nothing to do with her. What would you do if someone you loved kept hurting your children emotionally, yet refused to change or even acknowledge the damage? Signed, Lost. Dear Lost, it sounds like your mother-in-law is struggling with a deep need for control and connection, but unfortunately she's expressing it in ways that hurt people around her, including your children. That's painful, and I'm sorry that you have to carry this for so long. You've tried more than once to reach out, set boundaries, and keep the door open, but when someone refuses to take responsibility for the harm that they cause, it becomes necessary to protect your family's well-being. That doesn't mean cutting her out completely, but it does mean making peace with the fact that you can't change her. Continue to lead with kindness, but stay firm in your boundaries. If she's ever ready to approach the relationship with empathy, then there's room for healing. Until then, your job is to protect your children's peace and your own. You've been listening to the Prescott Daily Courier, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.